Just before I start, just pertinent to last week when Sam was speaking, and Joel actually, but some of the stuff that Sam was talking about was covered by the Christian Institute. And if you're interested in the stuff that Sam was talking about, you might be interested in stuff the Christian Institute does. And we have one or two leaflets on the table at the back there. I've got a leaflet here. I thought Sam did very well in 20 minutes to expand the meaning of the life, the universe, and everything else, you know? But there are some leaflets. Second thing is, I've just found something out which is really cool, but very funny as well. So I think God laughs. He laughs a lot, actually. So there's a guy from Romania at the back called Toby, who's part of Betel. And when I was there a couple of weeks ago, his problem was alopecia. And I prayed for him that his hair would grow. And he just, this morning, took his hat off and he said, "It's growing, and it's growing." All right. But as I was praying for him, yes, I just thought it was so funny that I was standing there praying for somebody's hair to grow. Me, you know? Oh dear, that was really cool. So, we are talking about defeating our giants. And today it's called Naming Our Giants, and I've put giants in inverted commas all the way through for a reason. I think we'll put the next slide up. Yes, I'll tell you in a moment. So there are some things that were suggested on the list. Giants like depression, like doubt, like fear, guilt, self-condemnation, and I just put one at the end, sin, which covers a few things. does it not? And habits and things like that, things that we struggle with. It could be anything. It could be family relationships. It could be financial stuff. It could be all kinds of stuff. But for us, sometimes they loom very large in our lives. And last week, when I was leading, I asked you to consider quickly among yourselves, name some of the giants in the Bible, and then tell me what happened to them. They've all gone. All right? They're not as big as we think they are. Can we just have the next slide, please? Sometimes these so-called giants become ours. So we talk about my depression, my sin, my weakness, my fear, my habit that I can't shake off. And it becomes mine. And sometimes, you know, when you talk to people who are ill and have been ill for a long time and it's become theirs, and they're almost comfortable in it. And there was a point when Jesus said to somebody, what do you want? Do you want to be healed? You know, and sometimes it's a question worth asking. These things are not ours. And the thing is, when we say my depression, we think that defines us, okay? And it defines us about as much as the case of the measles does, all right? So if you've got measles, you've got something that's not nice and you go to the doctor because you want rid of it, okay? You deal with it. It's not yours. It doesn't make who you are. It's just something you've got that's unfortunate. It's not nice and it's time it went, all right? And that's the same about these things. It doesn't define who you are. Actually, what I want to look at this morning is actually who you are, which is something quite different, probably or maybe from what you think you are. There we are, I've just murdered the English language. So, next slide, please. And there is a clicker here, but I'm not savvy enough to use it reliably, so I'm having to shout next slide. Looking at what might be considered to be our giants is not the place to start. It's the wrong place to start. And actually, we need to start at the beginning. Life's big questions. It was Carol's birthday this week. I got her a card. Well, it is good. Yeah. And if we put it away, we could probably use it again next year. The year after, I might have to start putting numbers on it, but we'll not go there. And it says, Is this the birthday when you start asking yourself life's big questions? Like, who am I? Why am I here? Why did I come into this room? Where did I put my teeth? Etc. I survived that. So, actually, that question, who am I? Why am I here? All right, that's where we need to start. Don't start with what the issues are that we're struggling with. We need to start with, who am I and why am I here? So, next, is it the next slide or is it the video clip? Next slide. And then we're going to have a 2-minute video clip after that. The truth sets you. Sure? Yeah? Can we try again? The truth sets you
free.
Hey, come on. The truth is, you are sons and daughters. Okay? If you're a man, you're a son. If you're a woman, you're a daughter. Just clear that up. But you are sons or daughters. You are here to enjoy his love and to be partners with him in bringing heaven to earth. That's what you're here for. Jesus encourages us to pray, your will be done on earth. And that's going to be done with us in partnership with him. And that's why we're here. Right. Before we have the next slide, we are going to have a little video clip. Some of you have seen it before, but it's good. And it has sound.
These written in just a slightly different way because I just want to hit the point home, okay? So if you'd go to the next slide, this is written by Paul Young. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote The Shack. He's an incredible mentor and friend to me. And these are just so great. The way that he writes just helps my heart to connect to truth. Words you will never hear God say. The depth of my affection for you is dependent on you. Words you will never hear God say. I expected you to do better. Words you will never hear God say. If you don't say the magic words, my hands are tied. Sorry about that. I'm going to pause on that because that was a real thing. I call it the combination lock God, where I was like, oh my gosh, in order for God to give me financial breakthrough, I need to have this right amount of faith, and I need to have the right person pray for me, and I need to be in the right church service, and then I need to have the right friend drive me home. And if all the stars align, then the breakthrough will happen. That is called magic potion God. And he is not like that. And so I spent years trying to get all the things just right, and it made it so high stakes. Oh my gosh, is my heart not postured enough for you to give me something good? Do I not believe enough, God? Did I not worship? Oh God, I checked out of worship for a second. Am I gonna miss what you have for me? Man, I wanna be like, if God can be so easily missed, we're in trouble. I want a God who I'm like, come shake me if I miss you, God, but I'm not going to live in fear that I'm missing you. Okay. I don't like being with things, words you will never hear God say. I don't like being with you when things get messy. Next slide. Words you will never hear God say. I allow evil because it will make you a better person. Words you will never hear God say. You aren't allowed to participate until you are perfect. Words you will never hear God say, I would rather you attempt to be holy than be honest. Words you will never hear God say, you are deafer than my ability to communicate. This is the last sheet, so just so you know, we're not going to do this forever. But words you will never hear God say, I only love you today because I know your potential. Oh, I lived my whole life believing this. That God loved me for who I was going to become, but who I was way too ugly for him. Way too flawed. That again, all of this, it creates torment inside. Do you know how much of my torment was based solely on my relationship with God? That happens in Christianity today. And I'd refuse to let it happen for the rest of my life. Words you will never hear God say. Shaming is sometimes a good thing. Words you will never hear God say, I find your questions offensive. Words you will never hear God say, I put up with you only because Jesus loves you.
laughing, but I actually grew up with that theology. God hated me, Jesus loved me, Jesus convinced God to like me, and now we're all friends. How fun is it to be in a relationship with a person who had to really be convinced to like you? It's not fun at all. If you guys could get the video ready, we're almost there. How you see God affects the fruit. You become what you behold.
Thank you. Okay. If you want to find that again on YouTube, just look for words you will never hear God say. And it's there. And it's Abby Stumble. But just put that title in and you'll find it. You'll find some other stuff by her as well. She's really good. So we'll have the next slide. Da-da-da-da. So a little bit about God. He is not formal. He's not stuffy, starchy. He has a great sense of humor. He's not distant. He's not remote. He's not disapproving. He's not hard to know. He's not hard to please. He's not cruel. He's not judgmental. He's not cold or uncaring or fickle or unreasonable. He's not harsh and he's not condemning. Okay? And actually, inside the church, you can find people, A, who believe this, some of this stuff, and sometimes people who teach in a way that leads you to believe some of this stuff. And this is not true. Okay? Next one, please. He is, and I mean, we could spend the morning just with who he is. And actually, when the men meet to pray on a Thursday, sometimes we just sit round and we just go round and round and round the room just thanking God for who he is, all right? And it's not just the well-worn phrases, you know, wonderful, marvelous, majestic, glorious, and then we'll go around again, wonderful, marvelous, majestic, you know. It's stuff that's personal, who he is to me, what he does, you know. He absolutely, definitely is good. Very good. And somebody once said, he's also in a good mood. Which is helpful to know, isn't it? Okay? He's relaxed. In the book of Hebrews, when it says he sat down, the word means to be relaxed. And actually, in Romanian, in the Romanian New Translation, it uses the word relaxed. Right? Relaxed. So there you go. He is passionate about you. He sought you out. He's passionate about you. He is kind. He is very, very close. He is caring. He's faithful. He's extremely powerful. Not just a little bit powerful. He's pursuing you with his love. And he will continue to do that because he loves you. And so we go on. I was just thinking about that last bit. Rob started telling me his story the other day about how he got saved. And it's a story that actually goes on over a few years. And you can see the hand of God in it and how God was bringing him to a place over a period of years, the point where he got saved. How many others of us have got similar stories where it's taken over a period of time, over years, God has started to put things together to bring us to that place of salvation? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know what that indicates? It indicates that he's meticulous, that he's a planner, that he does everything to make sure this works right. He doesn't rush into it and just suddenly go, da-da, you know. He's planned everything. Even with Saul on the road to Tarsus, that was planned, all right? It indicates his love, his incredible attention to detail, and the fact that he is not going to lose you if he can possibly help it. You have a choice, but he is after you, and he's after me. All right. The second thing that just occurred to me, and this is the thing about adoption. I think Dale mentioned it this morning, just about we are adopted. And you know, in the ancient world, adoption wasn't just there's a poor little kid that's let's just get it out of its miserable situation and give it half a chance in life. Adoption was where you looked for the very best, where a man maybe needed a son to carry on the business, all right? And he hadn't either got a son who was suitable or hadn't got a son. So he would go look for the very best and adopt them, all right? That's why you adopted, all right? And the same is true for you. Jesus looked for the very best, and he found you, and he adopted you. And it's not this thing about he loves you for what you might be. He loves you now, but he can see what you will be, all right? And sometimes we just need to see what we will be as well. Next one, please. Just three books that might just help with some of this, because just to go back to the beginning, the whole problem with things that we face in our lives often starts, the root is how we see ourselves and who we are and knowing who we really are. Once we got that straight, it's easier to deal with the stuff. Okay? The first book, some of you have seen this, Jesus Calling. So this is by somebody called Sarah Young, and it's just devotional stuff, so it's one page at a time, and it's a bit like drip feeding the truth into you. So every day you just get a little bit of truth and you drip it in and you drip it in. The next one is a book called God is Good, and the subtitled He's Better Than You Think, all right, which is a very good book as well. There's also a devotional to the second book, which is a 90-day devotional called Encountering the Goodness of God. And that, so that's Bill Johnson. And you can get those from the bookshop. This is in, this one. There's three copies in. I had a copy of God is Good, but I lent it to somebody and I can't remember who. And they haven't brought it back. So if you're feeling guilt or condemnation, then bring the book back and I'll pray for you. Okay? But they're good books and they're helpful, because if this is an area where it took me years to get this from out of here into here, all right? It took me years, and hopefully you're going to get some keys to this morning. Next one, please. That's another book you could read, okay? Which might be helpful. Next one. And I'm not being facetious there. Please get my heart. You are going to... The three books I've recommended are all draw heavily on what's in the Bible, and they're just finding it for you and putting it together in a place where you can absorb it. But it's all there, and the Bible is a highly recommended, shall we say. Okay? It is the best book. So, the truth sets you...
free.
Come on. Try again. The truth sets you...
free.
Better. You have purpose and you have identity, okay? We sang the song, thank you, Joe. Actually, the band did well this morning, didn't they? You are free to give them a round of applause. Woo! Of course they did, really cool. Colossians 1:12, I'm just going to read it to you, because it says you're qualified. It says, give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. He has qualified you. And actually, for a lot of us, there are things in our lives and we look at ourselves and we think, I'm disqualified. I don't fit. I don't have a place. I can't possibly do what they do because of what's in me or where I've been or what I've done. And the truth is, you are qualified. You're qualified because he's chosen you. You're qualified because he set you free. You're qualified because the Son of God died on a cross to set you free from your past and fit you for your present and your future. That's why you're qualified. You're not qualified because you can do stuff or because you've got good gifts. You're qualified on that basis of what he's done for you. Next one is in Colossians 1:22. It says he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body, which is what I was just saying. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. So that's where you are now, in his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault or faultless. All right? You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. And sometimes, to try and explain this, people almost make out that God has some magic glasses, if I can use the word magic. And he puts these glasses on before he looks at you. And then when he looks at you, you look kind of acceptable to him. If he took them off, he'd have a bit of a shock, because he'd see you as you really are. So he has these magic glasses, and that makes him think that you're all right. And somehow, Jesus has convinced him to put these glasses on every time he looks at us, and then it'll be okay, all right? And that's almost what we pick up, and actually the truth is far from that. The truth is he doesn't need any special glasses to look at us, because when he looks at us, he sees us as we are, which is faultless and clean and holy, all right? And that's what we need to listen to. That song says, I am who you say that I am. And not I am who I think I am. Or I am who people tell me I am. Or I am who my emotions tell me I am today and may tell me something different tomorrow. I am who he says I am. Right? He says, I'm forgiven. If you look in the New Testament again and again and again, it says that the purpose of Jesus' death was to forgive all our sins, to make us completely clean, to set us completely free. All right? So we are forgiven for the past stuff, for the present, and for the future stuff. Because he wants that out of the way so he can have a relationship with us. Next slide. The purpose of the things in our lives, like giants, that, and this is giants, because they're not giants, right? They appear like that. They appear bigger than they are. But their purpose is to interfere with your destiny. And the truth is, for each one of you, God has got a destiny. He's got a plan for you, all right? And I just need to say it's not prescriptive, that you won't miss it by getting the wrong bus to work or putting the wrong jumper on. And probably not even by getting the wrong job sometimes, okay? Sometimes we just make it so rigid that we're boxed in and there is no escape. I'm a father. I have two girls. One was on the stage before. I want them to be what fulfills them, not what fulfills me, all right? And with the Father God, there is that sense as well, that he wants our fulfillment as well as his, all right? He's not constraining us and saying, you're going to be that, and you're going to be that, you know? He can see ahead, and he can help us into what we're called to be. But there's a sense, too, of us being free to be who he's called us to be, all right? And sometimes I think we say to God, oh, should I do this, should I do that? And he says, well, what do you want to do? You know? To go a bit down a slightly different tack, Bill Johnson says, you know, people come to him and say, should I get this job and should I get that job? And he says, well, just go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And they say, yeah, but what job they're doing? He says, it doesn't matter, do any job but heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and so on, you know? Sometimes we're so concerned about the nitty-gritty little details, we miss actually the purpose of why we're here, which is to bring heaven to earth. This little bit in Romans, and you know all this about nothing can separate us. And some of these things here, neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And he talks about our fears for today and our worries for tomorrow, but he doesn't mention the past. Because it doesn't exist. The past is dealt with. Now, when you hear that, you might think, my past before I got saved. But actually, the past is 5 minutes ago. The past is yesterday. And if we live in yesterday and what went wrong yesterday, and I'm not saying we don't put right things that we need to put right, but if we lived in the condemnation of what went wrong yesterday, and the failure of what went wrong yesterday, then we're living in a place we're not allowed to go because it doesn't belong to us. It's trespassing. It belongs to him. He took it. Okay? Something we say with Sozo is, big God, little devil. All right? And that just helps keep a perspective. You know, big God, little devil. All right? God is bigger. Next one. Yeah. So far, all I've said could be theory. Actually, because we've got another 10 minutes, do you want to just, in your seat, stand up, turn around, sit down? Okay? Just freshen up. Did I say talk? Audrey, put that woman down. She's running around hugging people in the balcony. Okay. All I've said so far is theory. All right? It's, you've got it here. All right? But it needs to get here. And just this little verse in John. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. And what he was saying was, is you're looking in a book to find out about me. And I'm right here in front of you. I'm here doing stuff. And you're just too busy looking in a book and adding up all your intellectual knowledge. And you're missing it because I'm here. I'm in front of you. And hear my heart on this. But Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, read about me. Okay? He said, follow me. Now, I'm not saying don't read about him, but I'm saying if that's all we do and neglect to follow. And follow is not just keeping our lives clean and right and looking good and being nice people. Follow is going and doing the stuff that he wants us to do. All right? Which is doing the stuff that the Father has lined up for us to do. We'll come on to that in a minute. So, next one, I think, please. We are coming close to the end, so it's all right. And then we're actually going to give an opportunity at the end just to pray for you. And if you've already, if you think God's showing you things or just nudging you about stuff, then that's fine because we will pray for you. See, this is the issue with having giants or things that look like giants. We can pursue God for an answer, or we can pursue him for who he is, and we get the answer as well. Okay? For me, actually, when I got saved, I saw God do some remarkable things, but it was tied up with me actually chasing after him. And it was remarkable, really. I mean, there was stuff he did that I just could never have done, but it all came as a part of me searching after him. Later on, at one particular point, I had a real financial problem, and I was seeking him for the answer for that, you know, and in his graciousness, he gave me the answer. And we got released from the financial issue. But it didn't make much difference in my life because actually all I was after was the answer. And when I got the answer, it was just, I'm not saying it was back to a life of sin, it wasn't, you know, but it was just back to da-da-da-da, we just carry on day to day, you know? So you've got two choices. You can pursue him for the immediate answer or you pursue him for who he is. And he'll give you the answer as well. But you'll get something else. You'll get him. All right, next one. Yeah, so the problem for us is when we face things, we think we're powerless. We think they're bigger than we are, and we think they're powerless. So I'll just talk to you a minute about Moses. So Moses was leading the Israelites. They were pursued by the Egyptians. They were coming up to the Red Sea in front of them, mountains each side. And Moses cries out to God and says, God, save us. And God says, what are you crying to me for? pick up your stuff. All right? Now, it might seem like a bit harsh, but if you go back to the beginning of the story of Moses, you remember that stick that he had, which was called a staff. And the very first thing, when God appeared to him, he said, throw it on the ground, it'll turn into a snake. Pick it up, it turned back into a staff. All right? Then he said, go back and show the leaders of Israel. Show them this one. And there was also the other thing he said, put your hand inside your coat, pull it out, and it'll be leprous. Put it back in, pull it out, gone. He said, go back and show this to the leaders of Israel, and then they'll know that I've spoken to you. That staff, he did the same thing in front of Pharaoh with it. Then the majority of the plagues came when Moses raised his staff. All right? Now, do you think when he got home and he just like came in, took his coat off, hoid his stick in the corner, you know? And the morning goes, where is it? Where is it? You know? I think he probably looked at that. I bet people were coming around to his house or his tent saying, let's have a look at that. Yeah. He was aware that there was something there, you know? I mean, it's not magic, it's the power of God. But he was aware that this was some connection to the power of God, and he had it. And at this point, when they're facing the Red Sea, God's saying, what's in your hand? Pick it up and use it. All right? You have power. All right? You're not powerless. But the important thing is that you need to know who you are and your connection with him, because that's where the power comes from. All right? Any power I've got inside me won't do it. I haven't got the power to make people's hair grow, but Jesus has, and he's really good. Okay? Next one. So, second last slide this is. Know who you are, your sons and daughters, not orphans. An orphan sounds a bit severe, but actually if you haven't got a father, then you're an orphan if you're fatherless. Okay? You are sons, you are daughters. Once you know that, your giants have to bow. Okay? Because you are connected to him, all right? And that's where your power comes from. He is in you, and you are in him. You are inside. You're wall-to-wall Jesus inside, okay? That's what you are. That's who you are. When you walk in the room, he walks in the room because he's in you, okay? His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is there in you. Yes, you can ask for more, but it's there, all right? But finally, just to top this off, the icing on the cake for you, the last little bit, there is more. And I just want to read you this from Exodus as well. Moses came back from the burning bush with his stick that can turn into a snake. Talks to Aaron, and him and Aaron go to the leaders of Israel, get them around and say, hey lads, got something to show you. Aaron does the talking. He told them everything that God had told Moses, and Moses performed the miraculous signs in front of the leaders of Israel. So he threw his stick on the ground, it turned into a snake, he grabbed it and picked it up, turned back into a stick. He put his hand inside his coat, pulled it out, and it was leprous. He put it back in and pulled it out, and it was clean and pure. And it says this. He did the miraculous signs as they watched. Then it says, the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshipped. Okay? And I just want to come on for the last moment just to think about the lost people outside. All right? If all we do is spend our time fighting the issues in our lives, our relationship with God is still skewed. It's not right, actually. And yes, we might get a victory in something, we might deal with something, but 10 years later, that will be historical. It'll be something we remember that happened in the past, but it's not current, and we haven't seen God's power because we haven't been in a place where we needed it, all right? And we need to be using it where we are, outside, among the lost people. And it just says, the people of Israel were convinced by, when they saw the miraculous signs, and from that they could see that God was concerned about them and had seen their misery. And it says they bowed down and they worshipped. Once you start moving in this, and once you start carrying the power that God has put in you outside to the people that you're among and the strangers that you meet, and you see God doing stuff, then you know that you know that you know who you are. All right? And you will never doubt again. Because it'll not be a historical thing. It'll be a regular, this is part of who I am. I'm carrying his presence. I'm among lost people. I can pray for people and see them healed. You can pray for people and see them healed. You can have words for people. You can impact them with even just small stuff that actually will change the course of their lives. And you might never know. You might pray for somebody for something and never ever see them again and never know what the effect of that was. All right? But you can do this. And you can carry this out into the world. I just want to say this, you know, and this is it, and then we're closing, so I hope you're ready and on the button. The tabernacle, which was the place of worship, was built in the desert after deliverance. All right? And the point I'm making is this. Sometimes we expect people to come and, we just say, come to church, you know. And actually, God's saying, let them encounter me first. Let them encounter my power and my presence first. Then they'll want to come to the tabernacle. All right? The tabernacle was outside Egypt after deliverance. All right? And for lost people out there, this has no interest in them at all. But the presence and the power of God has. Is that all right? Yeah? And we carry that, and you carry that. And actually, as you begin to do that, your giants get smaller again. All right? They do. And if we just sit around saying, well, I've got this problem, I can't possibly, then actually you need to just have a little experiment. Just have an experiment. Just step out and try something and see what happens. And see how in your life the giants start to get smaller. Because they're not really giants, they're imposters. All right? And their sole purpose is just to put you off your destiny and what God's called you to. So, items, you know, if God's stirring you this morning and you feel you need prayer, there'll be some of you in this room who really are struggling with stuff, you know? By all means, come out and we'll pray with you. And we'll stand with you. But I would like to you to consider actually making this a time, not just when you're saying, God, please sort this problem for me, but God, actually, I want to give myself to you. And let's see where that goes. And yes, please sort the problem out. But first and foremost, I just want to give myself to you. And let's just go on together and see where that goes, because that'll be fun. You know, that will. You'll never look back from that. Can't think of anything else. Sorry? I had something in mind, it's gone. Maybe it's just this issue of actually saying, actually, I want you. That's what I want. Whether you've got issues going on or not, I want you. I want more of you. I want to be hungry for you. And I want to see what you can do. Because it's going to be exciting. You know that song, Come Away With Me? It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun. It is wild. It's fun. All right? But it's cool as well. Okay. Okay?